Well, good morning, everyone. It's a happy, happy, beautiful Sunday. I was thinking of a story as a little girl who's sitting on her grandpa's lap, and he was reading her a book, and that book was the Bible. And he was reading to her from the very first book of the Bible, from Genesis, about creation and how God made everybody. And so he finishes reading the scripture, and the little girl is kind of processing it all, you know? She looks up at her grandfather and his wrinkly face, and she says, "Grampy, so God made everybody." He says, "Yes, sweetheart." And she says, "Well, Grampy, so God made you?" Yeah, sweetheart, God made me a long time ago, many years ago." And she says, "Well, and God made me too." "Yes, sweetheart, God made you also." And the little girl thinks for a second. She says, "I think God's getting better." The month of November is a time for us to think about our wrinkles, my friends. It's a time for us to think about last things. We think about the fact that we do not live on this earth as we are all living forever. That one day we will die and we will go to one of three places. It's good for us to remember that life does end and how we live has eternal consequences. I'll start it off by saying that in the end, we're judged on love. In the end, we are judged on love. How well did we love God? How well did we love His body, the church? How well did we love the people in our lives that God gave us to love? That's the final exam. How well did we love? If we didn't love well, we go to hell. Jesus talks about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. And if God talks about it, it must be real. And I think sometimes one heresy we have in the church is that everybody goes to heaven automatically. That's not what Jesus says. And it's worth living a good life of love that we don't go there. You know, we basically choose, people that go there choose it themselves. And they choose not to love God, not to love those in their lives. And we call those things mortal sins. The church has always taught that it takes only one mortal sin to go to hell. And people say, "Well, that's not fair." Well, if you're on the top of a skyscraper and you take one step off of the skyscraper, you're going to die. You say, "That's not fair. I only took one step." You know, well, tough. You know, purgatory is for those who die with venial sins and with temporal punishments associated with the sins that they have committed that have been absolved in confession and through last rites, things like that. Purgatory is a wonderful place. Very grateful for that. Because purgatory is where we are purified by God's grace and mercy, that we can be made perfect for the land of perfection, which is heaven. Nothing imperfect is in heaven. And I probably won't be perfect when I die. We pray for a happy death, where we die in a pretty good state of grace, and we... But I still feel I probably will not probably make it right away. Can hope for that, pray for that, but I bet you I'll be in purgatory a while. And it's in purgatory that we are made clean, we are purified by God's grace. And our prayers on earth help those that are there. That's why we, you know, it's the same as if people ask me all the time, "Father, would you pray for me? I'm going through a tough time." Oh, sure. And we believe that when we pray for each other, there is an effect that happens. It works. And it's the same, we ask the saints in heaven to pray for us. We believe that their prayers, their intercession, helps us. And it's the same with those in purgatory. Our prayers for those souls help them. And their prayers, they pray for us too. It's one church, three spots, heaven, purgatory, earth. And our prayers all go together, which is why we bother to have masses said for those that are our friends and families who have passed away. It's why we pray for them at every single mass, the deceased. It's because we don't know for a fact where they are. After my grandpa died a few months ago, a lot of people said, "Oh, Father, congratulations. I'm glad your grandfather is in heaven now. I'm sorry for your loss, but he's in a better place in heaven." To which I said, "Well, I don't know that he is in heaven. I pray for him every day. I pray for my grandma that died when I was in fifth grade every day to this day. My priest growing up, I pray for him. We pray for those that have gone before us. Not assuming that they're in heaven. If we assume they're in heaven, then why pray for them? You know, we pray not quite knowing. And there's a grace in that. There's a grace in not knowing. But we offer those prayers, and they work. We remember during this month those who have passed away from our parish. Their names are written here. And St. Joe has a similar board where we remember those folks. And we remember we should be inspired by them, and we should be praying for them. And so that we do, especially during this month of All Souls Month. But this is a time for us also to reflect, as I said, on our own mortality, on the fact that it one day will end. And we will be judged on how well we loved. And the neat thing is that if we love God and we love others, It just so happens by happy consequence that we fulfill every one of the commandments. We would never miss a holy day of obligation because we love God. We would never treat a person in our family poorly because we love them. And if we love, if we fulfill the greatest of all commandments that Jesus says here, which is to love God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, and all of our strength. If we really do that, we fulfill every commandment there ever was. And I think it's a good thing for people to reflect at the end of the day, as part of our time with God, to say practically and concretely, where did I love today? How did I love God today? Make a list in your mind. Well, I prayed in the morning. I prayed before eating. I helped with the habitat build. Did something at church. Whatever it is, where's the concreteness of it? How did I actually love? You know, because otherwise it's just a happy emotion that we say, it's like I said, if a husband were to say, "Oh, I love my wife. I never see her, never talk to her. She lives in a different town and never," well, some happy marriage that is, you know. You can say you love her all you want, but if you don't prove it, then you don't. And our love for God has to be that way. And our love for each other has to be that way. Where can I point to concretely in my life every day? Where did I love my spouse? Where did I love my mom, my dad? Where did I love my son, my daughter? Where did I love the people in the workplace, my classmates? Where did that concretely take place, that love? And if we do that every day, we grow in love so well. That's a good time, by the way, to pray the act of contrition every night. And then you say, "Well, where did I not love that I could have?" And listen to what Father Slavko says. "The greater our love, the less we speak of sacrifice and what we have to do. And when there is no love, everything becomes hard. And everything becomes a sacrifice." Isn't that beautiful? Where we really, really, really love, We're not asking ourselves, well, gee, I can't believe I have to go to church again. Can't believe I have to pray again today. I have to do this again. I have to give more money. It doesn't happen that way. Because where there's true love, there's no, it's the sacrifice is so easy and natural. In the end, we are judged on love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.